I'm just out of curiosity, the lifetime public servant policy, is that something that's always been in effect, or just is that something new that we're putting in?
Yeah, Ken and I had this discussion. Kay Briggs is the only one that I know of that is currently coming up in playing golf and receiving any sort of continued discount. We thought it would be a benefit to have it in the policy rather than me coming in my first month and wondering who this guy is. But Kay's been wonderful about it, kind of explaining and me kind of discovering these things. I'm happy to have more discussions on that and evaluate if that's something that the city council and you, mayor, would like to put together. I think it's a great benefit to you for having to serve on the city council's mayors, as well as employees that extend their career with the city, kind of a benefit as they retire. I know other cities that do it, and it's kind of a great benefit to them as they retire. So
there are other cities that have this type of a policy then?
Yeah, yep. I know at least of Spanish Fork City, Springville City, and then Tri-Cities area, Pleasant Grove, they do one with their employees as well. Well, it's not Tri-Cities anymore, but Foxhall.
Okay, are there any other comments or questions? is there a motion then? Do we need to have a public hearing when we're changing the fees on this, Ken, if we're raising them or changing them?
No.
I guess these are new fees, and so we're not raising fees.
Yeah, and we don't have to have a public hearing on these golf course fees.
Okay. I know we typically do at the rec district, but again, these are new fees, or new products, so. Is there a motion then to approve the...
I'll make a motion. I move the City Council approve resolution number 2020-23R, a resolution amending the consolidated fee schedule for certain fees and charges and adopting rules and policy guidelines for Eaglewood Golf Course as amended, right? Mr. Mayor, you made a slight change to the language?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll second the motion, Mayor.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Well, this is a resolution. Why don't you go ahead and type in your votes if that's okay? It's easier than just doing a roll call vote, I think. So if you can just type your votes into the comment section. Okay, so we have a unanimous vote. That's 5 votes in favor. And so that passes unanimously. The next item on the agenda, oh, thank you, by the way, Tyler. And I noticed that we are a whole lot busier up at the golf course. That may just be the market, that may be you, but it is nice to see.
Yeah, I will say a quick note. Yeah, on the driving range, I just looked today on past year. We're all through the 17th of August, we're already $3,000 ahead of last year's driving range revenue. So I think this will help even more. But yeah, thank you for that.
I do have a question, and that we were talking about lessons, and I have seen lessons going on up there, but I haven't seen any by our staff. Is that something that we're pushing, or what is your thoughts on?
Yeah, John's been great. He's actually got a ladies clinic that he's been doing the last week, and he has 2 more weeks left. John's been teaching quite a few of those, and Brent's been doing quite a few even during the middle of the day when it's pretty hot. He's had about one a day. We're still pushing for more, but they have been out there teaching a little bit.
Okay. All right. Thanks. So the next item on the agenda is consideration of an amendment to the general development plan for NSL City Center Phase 1. Sherry?
Yes. Thank you, Mayor. Brighton Homes has acquired the Chaparral property, or they're in the process of acquiring the Chaparral property, I should say, directly north of the NSL City Center. So this next slide that I'm going to show you, on the left is the original phase 1 of NSL City Center, And on the right is the proposal for the new area. So in the old proposal or in the old approved general development plan, there are these six units here that run horizontally this way. One of the requests for the amendment is to relocate these six units because they would have been right here and they haven't started construction on those yet, in and incorporate them into this phase two on this property that they are working on acquiring. So just to give a little bit of history on this, the general development plan was approved in June of 2018. The plan included the commercial office building that is built across the street from City Hall here and 56 townhomes that are for sale and are presently under construction. The original site was 3.65 acres. And the Chaparral site, if added to this general development plan, adds another 1.55 acres. So just pushes the entire project to just over 5 acres. And they are requesting an additional 29 townhome units. And that does not include the six units that are being relocated from right here. And if you notice in the numbers are not sequential. Because of the renumbering of this building, they skipped numbers 24 through 28 and started at the top at 56 and went on with 57. So that's why it may look like there's more units than there totally is being proposed. Essentially, what they have done here on this plan is we've talked to them about widening out these spaces between the buildings. If you look at these two townhome buildings, they're a little bit close together. The sidewalks come down here to the front doors of these two units. So we asked Brighton to separate these buildings a little bit to give a little better feeling as you're walking through there, more room for landscaping, as well as some widening of this area here. There'll be a new access, pedestrian access from Highway 89 down into the project. There'll be continuation of the same 7-foot sidewalk and minimum 8-foot park strip, and they will be dedicating an additional 20 feet approximately of right-of-way to Highway 89 that will help us assist in the BRT installation when that is ready to happen. The project has about 29% open space and landscaping within it. They are planning a central a green space here that several of the units face onto with their front doors, as well as all of these units around the edge have small private backyards. The Planning Commission did request that prior to returning for a preliminary plat, if they get approval from the City Council, that they do look at an alternative layout that would put more townhomes facing that central green area and pushing the parking out to the edge of the property. So just to go over the parking standards. So originally in our parking standards, we gave them a reduction in the commercial area parking by sharing that parking with the guest spaces. In this particular phase, they are adding a total of 36, the two bedrooms have 24 garage spaces, the three bedroom units have 34 garage spaces, and then there are driveways that will accommodate another 34 spaces with guest parking of 13 additional guest parking spaces here. And here, all of these units have driveways that will fit guest parking in the individual's driveways. So this guest parking is located close to the units that don't have driveways, which are these three and these five on this side. So the proposed architecture will be the same as the townhomes that are currently being constructed. And the process for this is a request for a rezone for a P district, which the public hearing was held for last time at the Planning Commission. Planning Commission then makes a recommendation on the general development plan amendment to include this 1.55 acres in the plan. If the council approves the general development plan amendment, then we will return to the Planning Commission with a preliminary plat and a draft amendment to the development agreement. This development would be required to meet all of the standards of the previous development agreement unless a change is agreed upon by the City Council and the developer. And so then we would return to the City Council with a recommendation on that zone change and the amended development agreement if you approve this.
Now these all have covered parking, is that right?
They all have two car garages, yes.
Okay. So they have two car garages, and so hopefully we'll have enough parking here. It just seems like all of these projects that we have, there's just never enough parking. We end up with people parking all over.
Most of the units have two car garages and then have driveway parking for guests to park in their driveway. The only units that don't have driveway parking are here, these five and these three.
So now, as far as the CDA goes, then this will increase our CDA that we'll be getting, or do we know yet?
Yes, it will. It will add to the TIF revenue that we're getting.
But we will not be sharing that with Brighton, is that correct?
We have an agreement with Brighton that related to the first phase of the City Center project, where and the amount is of TIF is $2,350,000, but we're not adding any obligation to share more TIF by adding this property.
And we're not accelerating any payments because of this. This is just extra funds that will be going to our...
Well, we could. So that's an interesting question. The more TIF we generate, the more we could pay to pay off that obligation, which I think, unless we have other projects that might compete, I think we are obligated to pay what we collect in a certain percentage to Brighton. So as the percentage grows, we probably will pay them more.
But this isn't one of the new stuff isn't part of the project. Projects that we approved for that.
Right. That's correct. The agreement we have currently only applies to the first phase of the project. It's already been approved.
And the CDA funds that we are generating, what can we use that for? I mean, we're looking at the park across the street from this. Uh-huh. Is that something that we could use those CDA funds for if we decided to and wanted to accelerate it?
Yes. We can use it for public improvements, streets. It's pretty liberal what we can use it for.
Okay.
Acquisition of property, BRT stuff.
Okay. Are there any other questions from the council? I'm curious, Taylor, I saw that you're on. I'm assuming you're still there.
Yeah, I'm here.
How is your commercial stuff going?
It's going. You know, we moved into the building. JCW moved in, and we still have a couple suites left that are unoccupied. But okay. There's three suites left unoccupied. But okay. those should be occupied here in the next 6 to 12 months. So
okay. So you guys are doing okay on it. Not wonderfully well, but okay. So
yeah, the office building was never, you know, a money maker. It was to get the townhome project and we actually really like being here. We don't have to cross the railroad every day. So
you guys are happy. You just need to convince some other people to come in and be happy with you. So
exactly. No, it's a great spot and it turned out nice. So we wish we would have been able to purchase Chaparral when we got the original plan approved. We approached them, sat down with them several times, but they weren't ready. I reached out to them a couple months ago, prior to us digging that building that would have blocked the second access over there, and just said, hey, this is your chance. If you want to sell, I think it would be more efficient for you to sell now than later. And they agreed. So they're interested in selling and we're under contract. So we think it will just, you know what's being built here. And so I don't have anything to say unless you have any questions. So.
The green space that they talked about, everything else is xeriscaped in there. I'm assuming this will be a green space with grass and not gravel?
Yeah, so everything where you see like planters, that will be gravel and bushes, but there will be green space behind all of, you know, along the park strip, along 89, along the boundary of the project behind units 83 and 77, kind of as you wrap along the west and south boundary lines. Those will be private backyards, but they'll be landscaped with you know, a small patio and some grass. The center part will be landscaped with grass, and we're actually we're working on some other proposals for amenity space for the project that we'd like to present to you at preliminary plat once we can figure those things out. But
That'd be appreciated if you look at that. I mean, it's certainly helpful for the project.
Yeah.
Hey, Larry, I had a question. You mentioned that the office space would be utilized here shortly. Does that mean you have a contract in place, a use, or are you just knowing it will be used because it's such good space?
So one of the vacant suites is owned by Capital Rock. So they've thought about renting it, leasing it out to another tenant. The bottom floor was under contract. It fell out of contract. And so we're actively trying to pursue that. One of the suites in the basement is under contract as well. And then the second suite is not. So we're just hoping to get the building full. And I think it's gonna happen fairly soon. I'm confident it will. Like I said, we're not making any money off of the sale of these suites. We're basically breaking even, but that was the point of the TIF and the, you know, and getting the townhomes approved. So we're marketing as best we can, and it's nice. It turned out to be a nice building, and we've had a lot of people interested. So
excellent. Thank you.
Hey, there wasn't one of the plans to have a restaurant with some outdoor seating there. I know restaurants don't do well right now, but
yeah, so we plumbed for it all, and we marketed it. So there's, you know, a grease trap was installed. It's been plumbed for it. We've marketed it. We've even to the point where we went into the restaurant that just got taken out over by on 89. What's that restaurant called?
The Chili Amore.
We approached them. We had some restaurant brokers looking into it. It's been tough. It's going to take a mom and pop type user. It's not going to be some known tenant, but it's built so that it can happen.
Okay. Mayor, I just wanted to make a comment too, if I could.
Sure.
So I wanted everybody to know, kind of a release. I actually own one of the units over there now as part of the trade with my property. So I'm not quite sure if I need to recuse myself or not, because I don't see the conflict, but I want to make sure everybody's aware of that. The other thing is, I think this is great, because when I lived over there at Chaparral, could make some awful bad noises early, early in the morning. So I think it's going to be good for everybody in the area.
Yeah. And I think you only have, I think Dave's on the line. He can clarify it. I think you're welcome to vote. It's up to you. You just need to declare that you have a potential conflict or a conflict, however you'd like to do it. Then I think you're okay to go.
Yeah, that is correct.
I did want to add one more thing, and this came up in the last meeting. I met with the Old Town Station HOA this morning, and we're looking at seeing if we can open up that fence line along there and share that green space and upgrade it. As those plans happen, I'll bring that in. But that is completely separate from what we're proposing. I just wanted to let you know that's the thing we're working on.
Okay, that's excellent. It would make sense. I don't know how well they can support that. I'm sure they'd welcome additional support there.
Yeah, they've been great to talk with, so hopefully we can make something happen.
I can't remember. Did we get a motion or not? I don't think we did. Is there someone willing to make a motion?
Mayor, I'll make a motion. I move that the City Council approve the proposed amendment to the general development plan for North Salt Lake City Center located at 25 East Center Street to include the property located at 71 North Highway 89 with the conditions that are included in the packet to be included in the amended development agreement.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
I will second.
So a motion by Natalie Gordon, seconded by Brian Horrocks. Is there further discussion? Why don't you go ahead and type your votes in on this so that we can have a roll call vote. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4. So the motion passed 4 in favor with 1 abstention. So Councilman Porter or Stan Porter abstained from voting. And so with that motion passes. The next item on the agenda is approval of the City Council minutes. Anybody have any comments on those? Or is there a motion to approve them?
Mayor, I had one. I think it was line 83. But I don't remember what it was. Oh, just some clarification that said that the Salt Lake County Council was voting to approve, and then on line 83 it said 6-3 during the Salt Lake City meeting.
Yeah, that needs to be county because I don't think the city voted to approve that. I'm sure they didn't. They have some issues still. So if we can change city to county on 83. Thanks. Are there any other corrections for the minutes? If not, is there a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion. We approve the City Council meeting of July 21st, 2020 as amended.
Second.
So a motion by Brian Horrocks, seconded by Ryan Mumford. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Natalie, I didn't hear you. You're muted. Okay, Natalie gave me a thumbs up, which means an aye. And did Lisa vote? Lisa, did
yes,
you vote?
Yes, I said aye. I voted yes.
So that motion passed unanimously. The next item on the agenda is action items. Any comments on the action items? Did we find out anything on number one as far as usage on that second Saturday pickup and how much it's costing?
I'm sorry, I don't have the cost in front of me, but we did reach out to ACE. They will not be able to start later and accomplish a citywide pickup in one day, honestly.
So I guess the question I had then was, how many items are they really picking up, and should we look at something maybe different?
Yeah, I think that's a good thing to follow up with. We'll put a report together for you. We have some data that we can put together. Okay. I think it's an excellent question to ask. Is it worth, are we getting the value out of it that we should? So.
And the other thing that they will do that we talked about is that they will do a heavy item where people that don't have trucks or things, we can pull those up to the curb and we could do something like that as well.
Yeah.
So we could, I think it would make sense to go ahead and rethink that whole second Saturday process. And then we can at least review it.
We'll look at some options for the council.
Okay. Any other questions on the action items? Okay, let's go to council reports. Ryan?
Thank you. So I think some big news is coming out. So a change of dates to your schedule. October 7th is the new NSL Reads event. We're going to be holding it. So Ron Gordon is chairing that event, and it's going to be a dual in-person and maybe virtual event. We're still seeing how everything goes in this 2020 year. But we have a really great author. So her name is Kaylin Flanders, and she's a local author that grew up in North Salt Lake. And then after she got married, she moved north a little bit, but is coming back to present on her book that just got published. And so October 7th for your calendars at City Hall, and we'll have some more information. The neat thing about this event this year is we're gonna combine it with the brand new North Salt Lake photo contest. So this is an opportunity for residents of North Salt Lake to take photographs within North Salt Lake or of areas in North Salt Lake and submit them. And then we will print some of those large photos that won the award and have them on display at City Hall during the NSL Reads event, have them at display in City Hall throughout the rest of the year. And then we can award them to the photographers for the next year if this event really works. So that's kind of the run for October 7th. We're still not certain about the Halloween fun run. So the Halloween fun run, while an outside event, does congregate a lot of people together in a close proximity. And so we're still just kind of seeing how things will be going. So I'll have more information in our meeting next week and in September about what's really happening and what the state and the governor say and where we're going with that. So those are the big events. I think in City Hall, with the amount of turnout we have at NSL Reads, with some mask required mandates and following all the governor's guidelines, I think that one can pass all the guidelines without being overcrowded. So I think that will be a really good event. And that's fun to have.
Are we having a writing contest again, Ryan?
So we are. We're having a writing contest, and they already picked the kind of on the topic, and so they're going to be sending that out with the announcements about this as well. So okay. The writing contest is part of the NSL Reads event as well.
Are we reaching out to the schools to encourage them to participate, or how are we doing that?
So yes. And in the past we haven't discussed that at length yet, as the school year was still unknown. And so I think now that we better know what Davis County is doing, and our last meeting in July, it was still up in the air, but I think in our meeting next week, we'll be talking about reaching out to the different high schools and junior highs and elementary schools in the area, because it's great to get a lot of submissions there. We've had some great entries in the past years.
Thanks, Ryan. Natalie? Oh, did you have anything else, Ryan?
No, I had two more things really fast. So Councilmember Baskin, your appointment to the Parks and Arts Committee resigned. And so if you would look for a new appointment to add in, if they want it, even if they're not formally appointed, if somebody wanted to just come and audit our meeting next week, we'd be happy to have them. So if you had anyone in mind, feel free to send them our way and, we'd get them going. But if not, we'll just catch them up in September. So that would be great. And then we have new chairman and vice chair of the committee, as the person that resigned was the chair. So Tammy is our chair and Rachel is our vice chair. So it's pretty fun. They're both very talented and want to be involved in the city, and I think we'll do an excellent job. They're both very talented women, and Rachel has done our graphic art and designs for the city for years, and is familiar with everything, and Tammy jumped in and is just really wanting to run, and I think it's going to be really great. So those are kind of the changes that have happened on Parks and Arts.
Thanks, Ryan. Natalie?
Okay, so with the school year starting, we are getting the Youth Council up and running. Linda has helped us with an application that is on the website and that can also be emailed out. And we've been receiving applications for people that want to participate with us. And we're looking at new leadership. And so we'll be having interviews with the advisors and myself and the candidates for mayor and city manager later this week. And the Tobins have agreed to stay on. So the Tobins will be the advisors, and I think this is the Tobins last year. So we're looking for another couple to sometime during the year come in and learn from the Tobins and be ready to take over for next year. So that's where we're at with the Youth Council.
Okay, thanks, Natalie. Lisa?
Hi, everybody. Couple things I wanted to mention. I got a nice email from Manuel Delgado regarding Derek Israelson, who would like to be on the Arts and Parks Board. And I'm inclined to appoint him. He sounds like he's very interested in it. He's a Woodcross High School mountain bike team coach. He has he's a photographer full time, but he's very interested in the trails, which brings some diversity to the committee. And I'd be more than happy just to make the motion to appoint him. I know that he's interested. The one hesitation I have is that I had in mind of the possibility of appointing Kenny Akers, who is a member of a minority community in our city. I haven't approached him to see if he was interested. He may be too busy. But if I appoint this gentleman, Derek Israelson, I'm hoping that down the road we do think for Kenny as an option. I think it would be nice to have him and his family become more involved in the arts and parks. And I sense with you, Ryan, that there is sort of an urgency to get it done.
No, I think, Lisa, I think if you want to debate your two choices, I think both of those choices are excellent. The mountain bike coach attended a former meeting and met with us, and I think would be a great candidate, as well as Kenny Baker's, and we've met him on the council. And so I think if you wanted to debate, you could, you know, we could do it in September. I don't want to rush you on this decision. I think pick whoever you want.
Oh, thank you. I'm not feeling rushed, but I think what I will do is give a phone call to Kenny and just see what interest he might have in service to our city. And it's possible he's too busy. So in that regard, I haven't spoken with him. If you'll give me that time, I would appreciate it. And we'll address it in September. The other thing I wanted to mention is I'd like us as a city to contact Salt Lake City regarding the burgeoning homeless village on Victory Lane. When I drive to work past the Capitol, I'm seeing more and more people actually creating a village. It's right beyond our border. It's really not within our jurisdiction, but I wish appreciate it if Ken or the mayor could contact the city and say that it's getting worse every day. It's become sort of a little squatter's village with these campers and motorhomes. And then the other thing I wanted to mention was that there was a sign on highway on the interstate, I-15, that is the car dealership. And what they've got on the top of their sign now is a red and white flashing sign that looks like a police siren, a police, you know, vehicle at the very top. When you're driving down highway or I-15 and you see that, it's very distracting. I also suspect that it's not in compliance with our ordinances regarding signs. And I'd appreciate if somebody would look into that. I noticed it this past weekend, and really I thought there was a police situation going on. It's a red and white flashing horizontal beacon on the top of that 60-foot sign. And then the other thing is I did ask the Tuckers to see if they would be interested to work with the U City Council. That's Brandon and Trish. And they were honored, but they are so busy, they said right now that they cannot do it, but they appreciated the invitation. And that's all. The other thing is that Census 2020 has changed a bit with COVID, and the timeline was extended, and now it is actually going to have a cutoff. And if we can urge people to know that they need to put that information in, it means so much money in taxpayer funding for our city and each resident. That's all.
Thank you, Lisa. Yeah, it would be helpful to get everybody participating in the census. Brian?
A couple things, Mayor. We've had several active West Nile pools in Davis County, but we have had no human West Nile cases. We suspect that if someone was to get sick with West Nile, they would probably get tested for COVID and come up negative and be sent back home. So it's possible there is a few out there, but as of right now, there's none. And I forward this to, I know Ken's been out of town, but was approached by a scout, an Eagle project at Spring Hill slide area, wanting to put in benches and maybe some signage explaining the geological conditions there. And I know TJ's been reached and Dave have talked about it. And I'm just wanting to throw it out because I need to respond back to this scout at some point. If there's an update there, I'd like to know it.
Sorry, so are you asking staff to respond?
Yeah. Has there been a decision or any further discussion on it?
I haven't talked to anybody about it, but off the top of my head, that sounds like a really great project. That park is a good location for some monumentation and some markers. And the benches is, I'm not sure if it would be utilized to have a bench, maybe down at the bottom, but I do think there is a lack of identification as to what the project is and what the property is and why it's been set aside. And so something like that would be really good, I think.
Thanks, Brian. Stan?
Yeah. Well, I had a really good meeting with the Jordan River Commission, and I don't know, can I share my screen? Will somebody allow me to, and I can show you something here.
Do you have a green button at the bottom that says share screen?
Yeah.
Just click that.
I did. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Okay, so at the meeting, I was excited to hear that Salt Lake City is moving forward with, or Salt Lake City, Salt Lake County, I should say, moving forward with their river trail. And the first project they're doing is the next one down, or up the river, I guess, or down there, yeah, up the river, I guess, from Porter's Landing. So this is normally where we put in for our Get Into the River event. Although we usually put in on the east side, they're putting the landing and then take in on the west side. But they've already let the contracts on this, so it's starting to happen right now. So I was kind of excited to hear that on there. So it should be a nice addition. And they're spending a lot more money on it than we ever did on Porter's Landing, and I kind of think they're spending more than they need to. But that's Salt Lake County, Salt Lake City, and I guess we'll see when they get done if it looks that much better on that. So that's probably mostly all I had to report. We're moving forward. The commission is still looking for input on what you want to see on the river. They're redoing the plan for the Jordan River, and I think everybody was sent out a little survey, so I hope you'll take that survey before the end of the month. If you haven't received it, let me know. pretty sure when to send it to everybody though. So you can get on there and just ask questions and of course encourage other people too, so that we know how we're, if we're doing the right thing and spending the money the right way. And but it looks pretty positive for the most part. I've seen a lot of positive comments come back. And the river's been getting a lot of use this year. With the COBA, I think that's a relief that people can get out and use the trail and use the river. We are planning on going forward with our Get Into the River event, September 12th. We're planning on meeting down there at 8:30 and try to get on the river at 9. We've talked to the county about it. The county's actually providing what they usually do. I had a little concern there, but they didn't have any concerns. So I thought, well, I guess it's their prerogative on that. They usually provide a little bus and they give people back. But we're going to encourage people to try to set up their own shuttle with their own groups or their own families and wear the masks. And I was even thinking if we could figure out a way to get people to ride bikes back, it might be fun. But I didn't get a lot of interest on that. We thought, well, that might be a little too much. So that's what we're doing.
Okay.
I think that's my report.
Thanks, Dan. For my report, I think the only thing I want to update you on is we've got a draft now from the Rec District for their master plan. And it looks like there will be a West Side center or a facility that they're looking at. Whether that happens and when it happens, who knows? It's just a master plan. But it is on there. And so, you know, the big issue is trying to find property that we can afford, because the prices of land is so expensive. I had a wild idea to maybe use part of the wetlands out there. I don't know if that would ever go anywhere and if anybody would be interested in it, but that might be a potentiality too. But who knows how expensive that would be. And other than that, I really don't have anything. Oh, COVID, I think everybody saw the report. COVID, the cases are down and it's starting to look quite a bit better. So anyway, Ken?
Yeah, I'm going to ask
David first. I'm sorry, David. Do you have anything, David? David's shaking his head no. Ken?
I'll have Sherry share the PowerPoint with you. I just have a couple of quick things. We had, if you'll go back there, one slide, Sherry.
Oh, sorry.
No problem. I did have a contact with the Eagle Ridge Tennis Club. They, as you know, have lost a tennis court, even though that tent building that was damaged by the landslide looked like it was not usable. They were using it for one tennis court. During the construction of their next addition that Paul referred to, they would like to use Tunnel Springs tennis courts Monday through Thursday from 3 to 7. They have high school and middle school kids that they would like to bring up there and use the courts then. I told them I would bring it up with the council. They're talking about a 6-week time period. I actually think this is probably a low use time this time of year. If it were 3 to 7 today, it was over 100 degrees. Maybe it's a couple of degrees cooler up there, but I can't imagine that this is a fun time to play tennis. So anyway, I bring it to the council. If you have objections, I can let them know what those objections are. But I think they pose it to me as temporarily while they construct the expansion of their tennis court. And so I told them I would let the council know about that. So think about that. If you have any concerns about it, or maybe if you have concerns now, we could have a discussion about it. But
yeah, and I just have a question. They were already using the tennis courts from like 8 in the morning till four or something.
Yeah, they don't want to. They don't want to use these are just for kids that are out of school. So that's why the hours have changed. They won't be using the courts during the day.
Okay, I guess there's two people on this call that are dumb enough to play on Mondays at 5:30 in the heat.
Yes, sorry.
But I guess we could work through that.
Well, that is an obstacle. I could mention it to them. We have beautiful tennis courts at Hatch Park, too.
Do we know if this is going to be a long-term request?
No, it's not a long-term request. And I discussed that with them. They won't be making this request in the future. I mean, they could make this request in the future, but I think we've made it clear, I've made it clear, that that the future will be different, that once the landslide is repaired, we don't intend to reserve our tennis courts for any private club any longer.
Yeah. I mean, and this is just, again, thinking out loud, and I don't know if we want to do it, but we have the tennis courts down at Hatch Park that need to be repaired. And if they paid for the repairs and the cleaning up and the fixing up of those courts, maybe we could arrange something with them where they could use it part-time if there was some kind of a maintenance agreement. But anyway, that's just some thought.
I would, I'd like to point out that Tunnel Springs courts have taken a lot of beating, and they're not too far away from needing to be repaired.
Well, so if there's no objection, I think I'll just get back to them that we think a 6-week period of time for these hours would be acceptable. They will not be used. These will be the only hours they would use those courts. The next item is just a reminder item, and we've had the proponents of the annexation, I think, are well-meaning, but are, if we're not careful, could some of you on the city council or some of our planning commission members could find themselves in a situation of being in an ex parte communication with the developers. And I just think with all the opposition to the annexation, we should be very careful to avoid and to not participate in ex parte communications from here forward. Not that we've done that, but I would just suggest that as this annexation moves forward, we don't know how strongly Salt Lake City will object, or if the city will be sued by Salt Lake City if this thing moves forward. And I just would hate to have someone point back to this period of time and say, well, you know, the developers met with individual council members, or they took council members to lunch, or, you know, I just think we should, I would strongly recommend that you don't have those communications with any developers, but especially with the proponents of the annexation right now. So that's just a reminder. I don't know.
Can you just explain the problem with that? Because I mean, you get calls from people all the time wanting to talk and meet. Is that a problem? Is it illegal?
We should let David Church give his opinion on that question. If he has one, I'm sure he does. I'll just answer for my part. I think that I've always encouraged planning commissions and city councils that I've worked with, and even city staff members, to not have the appearance of going out to lunch or going out to dinner or having private communications that are not known. So if you're a city council member, having a private communication that's not known to other city council members can create a problem for you on the council as you deliberate. It can create the forming of alliances outside of meetings, which I think can be criticized by others. And I think I think that in this case, I see the Salt Lake City Airport and the Salt Lake City Corporation and the Salt Lake City West Point neighborhood, all entities that are looking at what we do under a microscope from here forward on the annexation. And I would hate to have someone say, the developers of the property have been meeting with the mayor privately or discussing, people can make allegations. And I don't have any concern that any of you are going to say something wrong or that you're going to do anything unethical. That's not what I'm saying at all. I just want the appearance of what we do to be completely transparent and above board. And I would hate to have any member of the city council or a planning commission member to have their ethics, or their reputation criticized by people who don't really know what they're talking about. And that could happen. And it happens all the time, actually. We've seen that in social media, people making accusations that they don't know anything about. And those accusations can be harmful, even if they're not truthful. So anyway, I didn't mean to get quite so serious about that, but.
David, do you have any comment on that? I just want to make sure I understand it.
I'm
talking about just the proponents here. And it seems like if we're not going to have communications, we shouldn't have communications with anyone, it seems like, but.
Yeah, it is an interesting kind of question. There's nothing illegal about receiving information from people who have applied to you for something like an annexation, especially when it's an annexation, when it's a legislative act. I think Ken's right that we want to avoid being lobbied in that sense. And so where you draw the line between being lobbied and just being educated is where people have difficulty. So as far as I'm concerned, as long as you're open to communications from both the proponents and the opponents, and you're not accepting gifts or emoluments or anything from one side or the other side, you're not in essence selling your vote, I'm not worried about it legally. I think Ken's made a very good point about the appearance of being influenced. But in a situation like this, where you've got both sides, assuming there's only two sides on this issue, offering you information as individuals, I don't think it creates a legal problem. It's an appearance problem. But I don't know any other way of doing it, Mayor, especially as the mayor. Now, planning commissioners, I don't think planning commissioners, for example, should allow themselves to be influenced individually. I think they act as a commission. But the mayor and council members, where you're ultimately going to make a decision on a legislative matter, receiving information or communication formally or informally from people who are interested in it, I think it's more the appearance and less a legal problem, if that makes sense to you, Mayor.
It does. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, thank you, David. That's a good clarification. And so, I know we don't have, I'm not suggesting we write up a policy or anything like that. I just wanted to let you know that that was happening. I don't think anyone's intentions are wrong. And so.
Ken, I'd just like to say that I think all of us have been approached by the developer and approached by Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
And so we've listened to both sides.
Yes.
We certainly heard from them at our airport tour, right? I mean, that was part of the deal when we went out there. Of course, there was several of us. So it made a deal where they had an opportunity to speak to us. I wonder, because over the years, I guess you don't want to be accused of doing something because of that. But on the other hand, I don't know how you get the information. I mean, sometimes that's what it takes.
Yeah.
Ken, if I just may jump in here real quick, I've just talked to the Planning Commission about it because I think where they're appointed officials, and they're supposed to make a decision based on the code and not represent constituents where elected officials are, that they should just direct all communications to come to the Planning Commission as a whole so that everybody gets the same information and it's presented the exact same way and in the same manner. So that they just, a Planning Commission member called me and she said that she felt uncomfortable with this call that she got from a realtor who said he was representing the developer and wanted to go to lunch and talk about the development. So she wanted some advice on how to do that. And so I just reminded the whole Planning Commission about ex parte communication and just to protect themselves from any appearance, just direct that to come to the citizen comment or schedule a work session with the Planning Commission if they want to talk to them.
All right, thank you, Ken and Sherry.
Great. Well, I'll move on. I think I've said plenty on that subject. So our family golf tournament is going to be on September 12th. Some of you probably saw that on social media. I just wanted to note that it's on the calendar that we sent out to everybody. It's noted as the 5th, but it will be on the 12th. And so that was my last item for the manager report. We do have a closed session we want to go into, which I think I need Sherry to stay and maybe David Church, but that's probably it.
Okay. Is there a motion to go into closed session then?
Yeah, and it's for the purpose of discussing the acquisition of real property.
I'll make a motion that we go into closed session to discuss the acquisition of real property.
I'll second.
Motion by Stan, seconded by Brian. We knew need individual votes by this, so if you could just type your votes in.
We also will need a separate recording, but I think if you just give me a second, I think I can stop this recording and then restart it, and then we'll be able to keep them separate. So give me just a second.
I guess we can say thank you to those that have joined us in our meeting, Dee and...
Yes, thank you, and anyway.